If you have your Bibles, open up to Nehemiah chapter 8. And this week, last week, we're talking about the power of Jesus. And this week, we're going to talk about the Jesus joy. Tell your neighbor, say, you need the Jesus joy. Yeah. All right. A couple of you are like, just looked at your neighbor and went, shoo. I'm not sure what that was all about. And some of them said, I'm not even sure if that'll work. But I want you to know the Jesus joy changes everything. Well, all right. I want you to know that Jesus' joy changes everything. Yeah. All right. All right. See, if we don't believe that, then we got problems. And we got a lot of work to do in the body of Christ. But in Nehemiah, we know it's a building of the wall. Nehemiah is going back to rebuild the wall. The word of God was not spoken for a very long time. And then we see here where Ezra, he reads from the law of the Lord. From early morning till midday, and the people began to weep. Right? So in Nehemiah chapter 8, we're just going to read verses 9 and 10. It says, then Nehemiah, who was the governor, and Ezra the priest and scribe, and the Levites who taught the people, said to all the people, this day is holy to the Lord your God. Do not mourn or weep. For all the people were weeping when what? They heard the words of the law. When they heard the word of God again, they started to weep because they started to hear of the goodness of God. They started to hear what God had done. They started to be reminded of all the promises that God had. It says in verse 10, and then he said to them, go eat of the fat and drink of the sweet and send portions to him who has nothing prepared. For this day is holy to the Lord. Do not be grieved, for the joy of the Lord is your strength. Tell your neighbor, say, the joy of the Lord is your strength. Right. We have permanent markers so that you can draw a smile on your neighbor's face before you leave. Because the joy of the Lord is something that's permanent. Amen. The joy of the Lord never diminishes. So should our joy ever diminish? Not a chance. When your joy starts to diminish, so does your strength. Because when your joy starts to diminish, what that shows is that our eyes have come off of the King and on our situation or somebody. Isn't that when it usually happens? Right. Somebody, you don't even need to meet anybody. You just need to open your eyes in the morning, stare at the ceiling, and joy leaves. I don't know about you, but I've had mornings like that. Sometimes it came at 2 o'clock in the morning. I wake up and I'm fretting, silly, but I'm fretting about something so simple. But it seems like it's overwhelming in the midnight hour, isn't it? Yeah. You ever wake up and you start thinking and one thing adds to another and adds to another. Next thing I know, I'm laying there and I'm sweating in my bed about something and I have to get up. I can't even lay there anymore because I know I'm going to wake my bride up and I don't want to wake her up. So I get out of bed and I go out on the couch and I'm sweating and I start writing notes in my phone and then I go back and I read what I wrote and I'm like, this will take me about 2 hours. And then finally go back to sleep. But at the moment when we wake up, the enemy comes in and he tries to steal our sleep, doesn't he? But the Bible says that sleep is the children's bread. It's what God gives his kids when we put our trust in him. When we put our joy and our faith in him, then we're not looking at situations or people around us. And I just want to encourage you. Me and Pastor Jeff were talking, and he said he remembered a teaching from a Catholic priest years ago. And because the enemy, he's good at fear, isn't he? Right. He's good at fear. Why is he so good at fear? This guy said he did a lot of exorcism stuff like that years ago. He said because the devil's so afraid, he knows what fear is. See, he doesn't know what day Jesus is coming back and everything changes. And he's in the eternal abyss forever and he no longer has authority or power. And he is banned from any kind of goodness. He has no authority over this earth. He's done. And he's walking in fear every day. He's walking. Is it today? Hey, guys, look around. Did you hear the horn? Did you hear the trumpet? Hey, everybody, keep doing what you're doing. I don't know what day it is. He lives in constant fear, and he's afraid of you when you walk in Christ. And he's afraid that Jesus is coming back today. That's good news, ain't it? He's afraid. He's afraid because his days are numbered. Your days are numbered too. From here to something a whole lot better than here. Amen? Something a whole lot better. His end has already been written and it cannot be changed. That's why he's so good at bringing fear into all of our lives. And the only way he does it is with a thought. He does it with a thought. And when we get there, it's going to be just like a cartoon. It's going to be this stinking little bitty cricket with a megaphone. You're going to look at him and say, "Are you kidding me? He's been paralyzed. He's been defeated. He's been beat from post to pillar. All authority's been ripped out of him over us. And all it is this little stinking cricket going, 'Hey, you're just a loser. You're no good. You're a failure. Nobody loves you.' But it comes out of that blowhorn in your head, 'Hey, you!' All because of the megaphone that he uses called the world in order to try to reinforce the lie in our heads. That's all he is. He's defeated and he's afraid. And he should be. Because he's the one that solidified his fate. And we're the ones who solidify our future. And we solidify it by believing on the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen? So in this season, because this season coming up is a season where more suicides happen than any other time of the year. Why? Because people are missing family. They can't get a family. Families are broken up. Whatever the reason is, they don't have that fellowship. Tell your neighbor, say, "There's all kinds of fellowship here." Isaiah, you didn't say that. You're going to say it to me before you go. I'm listening. I'll wait. There's all kinds of fellowship here, right, Isaiah? All right. That's what I want to hear, Isaiah. See, when I'm up here, you have to do what I tell you to do, all right? All right. Tell your other neighbor, say, "There's all kinds of fellowship here." Come on. You're not alone. You're not alone. A lot of us have already walked through some really tough, dark times, and we've come out on the other side victorious through Jesus Christ, right? It's his joy that strengthened us in the midst of the valley, and then he yanked us by the hand up out of it, and now we're walking on mountaintops. We know there's valleys coming, but guess what? He's got his provision all the way through. He's never going to leave me nor forsake me. His rod and his staff, they comfort me. Provision is mine and protection is mine in the midst of the valley. Amen? Amen? So therefore, we've got great freedom. You're not alone. That's a lie. That's that little cricket. "You're alone. You're all by yourself." That's what he does. "Nobody wants you. Nobody wants you." That's what you hear. That's all it is. His two little back legs. "Nobody wants you." Sorry, we got to go on. Help me, Jesus. Help me. It's the holiday season. I had too much eggnog and too many sugar cookies. I don't know what to tell you. And then in Nehemiah 8:12, it says, "All the people went away to eat, to drink, to send portions, and to celebrate a great festival, because they understood the words which had been made known to them." If you're going to walk in joy, you're going to have to understand the words that have been made known to you. Here's the ones that walk in utter despair and failure because they don't understand the words that have been given. Yes. Ecclesiastes 8:4 says what? "Where the word of the king is, there's power," or freedom. Where the word of the king is, there's power. There's power to destroy every lie the enemy has ever spoken over you and your family. Every lie has been destroyed. There's power in it according to the word of God. Whether you believe it or not will depend on whether you walk in joy or whether you walk in misery. Tell your neighbor, say, "Please don't sit next to me if you're full of misery." Because that means you don't know what the word says. Listen, some people hang out with the miserable people when they get out of here and you wonder why you get miserable. I'm dead serious. You better check who you're hanging out with. If you're hanging out with people that are always in the mully grubs and complaining all the time, find a new friend. Right? Jeremy Hamm, he'll be your friend. Jeremy, stand up for a minute. Jeremy's very friendly. He'll be your new friend. All right? He could be your new friend if all your friends are miserable. It starts to affect you, doesn't it? Right. What did it say in the verse before? He said to them, go eat of the fat and drink of the sweet. Woo! What a season we're in right now. Amen? This is what God's plan is. Okay, there's sweet things that are natural, okay? Not sugar. You're not allowed to do sugar. That's a no-no, right, Bren? All right. Oh, yeah. No sugar. Fruits. All right? That's what God created. But there's a way to walk in your victory. And if you're hanging out with people that all they do is curse and swear and just complain and are miserable, either get them saved or get out. The Bible said have nothing to do with them. Yeah, but Pastor, I'm related to them. We all have them, don't we? We all have them. Can I just tell you? I had to break some relationships with family for a while because I was walking in a different direction and I wasn't about to have that around my kids. I don't know about you, but I'm here to protect my kids. I want you to know the Holy Spirit tries to protect us too. And you know what he says? Get out. Stop. Step away. Change the way we think. Why? We have to go back to because they understood the words which had been made known to them. We start to make the word known in our lives. We start to make the word known to them. And if they say, I want nothing to do with that word, we say, have a good day. It must be somebody else's job to lead you into the kingdom of God. And we know that the word that we speak will keep working on them. But the Bible says, don't hang with them all the time. Don't do it. You'll dive into a pit with them. I was in that pit. I'm not going back. I'm not going back. I'm walking with the King hand in hand all the way to eternity. Amen. And then we see in what Paul said in 2 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 10. All right, number one, we remember this, right? The joy of the Lord is our strength. How? Because they understood the words which had been made known to them. Our joy doesn't come because you get a nice Christmas present. That word happy comes, and that word happy starts out with hap. What happened changes things. Whatever happened to you in your life, oh, I got happy or I got sad, depends on what happened. But this is because of the word of God that helps us to walk in that joy. Amen? It is not something that happens every single day. It's something the word says I've already received that I can walk out every single day. What Jesus has already given me. So, you know, the Christian joy is a profound decision. Tell your neighbor, say, I make a decision to walk in joy. Tell your other neighbor, say, you should too. All right. You see, because we can't make the decision for someone else. We can only encourage them to. But that's not your job to make them. We've all tried that, haven't we? Oh, yeah. Come on, man, smile. Shut up. Come on, man, life is good. Life's terrible. You can't make somebody. It's because they don't understand the power of the word. Right? I remember when I first got saved, there's a lot of the word I didn't understand. And therefore, I wasn't able to walk in the freedom that God had given me. It was already paid for. It was already served up on a beautiful platter. The Bible says that God prepares a table for us. It was a table fit for king's kids. And he said, here it is, all that you'll ever desire. Come and feast at my table. But I wouldn't go because I didn't know there was a table that big. I didn't know all that was laid out on the table. Because everything on the table, it destroyed rejection. That was huge for me. That was huge for me. Because when I first got saved, no matter what I did, it wasn't good enough. I don't know about you. But when I was growing up, it wasn't good enough. No matter how hard, no matter what I did, it just wasn't good enough. That's what I heard. And so when the coach in football said, hey, you're good. What? You kidding me? He said, no, you're good. I love you. I said, yeah, I want you at quarterback. You serious? Yeah, you got a good arm. Okay. Gonna make you the captain of the team. What? You serious? Yeah. And God kept doing that in different areas of my life before I was even saved. He always sent someone to drop one word to start to steer us in a different direction. Amen? See, that's you. Every day when you walk out, it's about you dropping a word. Why? Because we know what the word of God says now. And you drop one word that starts to change the direction of one person's life. And I got in the military and they said, hey, you're good. I am. You're a leader. What? Yeah, we're going to put you in charge of 52 guys. That's not a good idea. They did it anyway. They had no idea what I had done. And then I got to my first duty station. Just one thing after another. Just kept leaning toward that direction. Because one person said when I was younger, hey, you can do it. Oh, tell all your friends that with Christ, you can do it. Whatever you're walking through, you can do it. You can walk in victory if you want to. Just steer. One word starts to change somebody's life. Now I get to feast at that table in rejection. I don't even think about it anymore. Not even a thought. Why? Because my God said he'll never what? Leave me or forsake me. I take his word. Why? Because I've come to understand they understood the words which had been made known to them. Here's a word that's been made known to you. You'll never be rejected by God. Isn't that good news? Yeah. And he said, the joy of the Lord is your strength. If you understand that, your life changes. It all comes from him. Nothing that you receive from man. We see a couple of times with Jesus. Turn over to Luke chapter 10, verse 17 to 20. Luke chapter 10, 17 to 20. I'm going to read it in NASB. So you can look on the screen or follow along. It says the 70 returned with joy. They returned with what? Joy. What happened? Jesus sent them out two by two. He sent them out two by two. Said, don't put nothing in your money belts. Don't take an extra change of clothes. I want you to go preach my word. My word's going to perform its job when you speak it, wherever you go. And they went out, two by two. And now they're coming back, right? And the 70 returned with joy, saying, Lord, even the demons are subject to us in your name. And he said to them, I was watching Satan fall from heaven like lightning. Behold, I have given you authority to tread on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing will injure you. Nevertheless, do not rejoice in this, that the spirits are subject to you, but rejoice that your names are recorded in heaven. And at that very time, he rejoiced greatly in the Holy Spirit and said, I praise you, O Father, Lord of heaven and earth, that you have hidden these things from the wise and intelligent and have revealed them to infants. Yes, Father, for this way was well-pleasing in your sight. All things have been handed over to me by my Father, and no one knows who the Son is except the Father, and the Father is except the Son, and anyone whom the Son wills to reveal him. So Jesus is talking about where your joy comes from, and he said, hey, this is incredible. Even the demons bow down before us. Yes, and they're rejoicing in it. And Jesus said, don't rejoice in that. That's just the authority that you have now. How many know you have authority over every demon in hell? Right. Now, the issue is, when's the last time we loosed them in someone else? Exactly. Why don't we, if we believe? They rejoiced because they went out and they said what Jesus said to say. Isn't it what happened? Jesus taught them for 3 years. All they did was walk with them for 3 years. And then they went out and they simply said what Jesus... They didn't even have the written part yet. They just said what they heard him say, and change came to people's lives. Because they understood the authority that he had given them. right? He was the living word. They didn't have the written word, but as the living word spoke, they received from him, and then they acted on the living word, and as the living word went forth, it produced what Jesus said it would do. Can we agree on that? Right. So in your life, when you start to act on what the word of God says, it starts to produce what you say. Not because of you. He said, don't rejoice in that. That's the authority I've given you. I've given you authority over all the principalities and powers, spirits of wickedness in heavenly places, right? They're all subject to you. But that's not what I want you to rejoice in, he said. Because Jesus corrects the direction of their joy. See, once again, their direction was, look what we've done. Right? Look at how God used me. Right? This is what they did. They stood up there and they said, hey, Jesus, this is amazing, man. Every demon listened to us. We cast them out. We healed the sick. All our provision was there when we spoke the word. Jesus said, be careful. That's not where your strength comes from. Don't rejoice in that. You simply spoke my word. I did that. You didn't do anything. You walked in obedience to my word, and then I gave you the victory because that's what I promised in my word. You've done nothing to get that. You've done nothing except walk in obedience. And then I destroyed the works of the evil one through you because of your obedience. Amen? But be careful, that's not rejoicing that, because that's where arrogance and pride start to come in. How many men and women of God have we seen take a nosedive when God used them mightily? Right? What'd they start rejoicing in? Hey, we get together. I was in a pastor's meeting and I was sitting there talking to this guy, and he's like, yeah, I started this many churches, you know, and I've seen every miracle and blah, 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 blah. And I. What's the name of the ministry? Oh, it was after his name, his ministry. Isn't that what men do? Women do? Because eventually, you see, they get too big for the local church. I can't have the elders speaking in my life. Look how God's using me. And then they name their ministry after themselves. And then they go and start telling people how many miracles they've had and how many they've wrought, how many churches they planted, and they start just speaking about that. And that's where that pride and that arrogance comes in. Who's the one that did all the miracles? It was him through us. It's the power of the Holy Ghost, amen? Working through each and every one, that would what? Surrender. So we start off in surrender. We start off with humility. God uses us just like these guys, and they said, hey! Them demons got nothing on us. We'll take them all out. They found out a little bit later, some only come out through what? Prayer and fasting. Jesus, we don't know what's happening. They don't listen to us anymore. These come out through prayer and fasting. So Jesus wanted them to be careful. The direction of your joy is the focus. If I look for joy through my marriage only, it's going to fail. Because we're going to disagree at times, right, love? We did once back in 01, I think it was. In 02 and 03 and 04 and 05 and 06. Verse 19 says, behold, I have given you authority to tread over the serpents and the scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing will injure you. Nevertheless, do not rejoice in this. He's quite clear in that, quite emphatic in that, amen? And that the spirits are subject to you. But rejoice that your names are recorded in heaven. Not the fruit of your ministry, but the one who has made you his own. This is the only thing we rejoice in, that God has made us sons and daughters. He's the only one that gets glory. He's the only one that gets honor. When God uses you mightily in your ministry, when you step out in faith, it's an act of faith that God, nothing pleases God unless it's done in faith, amen? It's only by faith, because if we can do it in our own strength, we don't need God. Right? We can build the building, but he's got to fill it. That's the reality of it. How many are sitting empty now? Some of them have built incredible edifices all over the country, and they're all empty. So many of them, I should say. And they're being sold off to heathens. And now there's all kinds of defilement going on around in the buildings that men have built. Because once we get away from the Word of God, then we lose. Once we forget where our joy comes from, amen? So we are to rejoice that we have a relationship with the King. Rejoice that no matter what happens, He is with you and for you. No man can snatch you out of His hand. He will meet all of your needs. He goes before you. He is your rear guard. He hears and answers your prayers, and He has called you His child. This is what we rejoice in. Not that we have dominion. We have dominion. Remember, we talked about that we have that power of attorney from Jesus. Whatever He said, we have the authority to do. He said, you can cast out demons. Okay, you have the authority to do that. And He's not going to take it back and say, well, not on Thursdays. No, it's every day. You walk in faith, you have the ability to cast them out. But God said, I want you to rejoice in yours and my relationship. Because the minute you get your eyes off of me, your joy is going to disappear. When you start looking at people, and I remember how quickly my joy turned to discouragement. We first started here, it was like 15, 18 people. Two families went on vacation. Seven people. Five of them were my family. Got to get up and preach anyway. All right. Lord, I'm going to have to strengthen myself in you. And that's what we did. And no matter what it looked like, we reminded ourselves of who was the one that called me to proclaim His word in the midst of every situation, no matter what it looks like. So how many people were here did not control us doing what He called us to do? Right? So therefore, no matter what happens in your marriage, that can't control you from doing what God's called you to do. Well, we're not getting along, so I'm not praying. I'm not spending time with God because of her. I'll fix her. Yes, you will. You'll drive her right out of the house. You stop spending time with God. That's what we do, isn't it? We blame other people and then we stop doing what God called us to do. No, we don't rejoice that God's given us authority and power. We rejoice because He's made us sons and daughters. That's the focus. The joy that fed and sustained Jesus Himself was not the sermons that He had or the sick that He healed, and even the dead that were raised, but the relationship He had with the Father. That was His focus. The relationship He had with the Father is what brought joy everywhere we walked. The bottom of His joy was not what He did in the world, but whose He was. Who are you? Because if you're a child of God, then joy in the Lord becomes your strength. You get stronger every day when you put your eyes on Him. Don't get it distracted. God has done some mighty things in our lives and through our lives and healings and everything else. Now we get to plant churches, whether it's overseas or here in America. These are all wonderful things that God has allowed us to be a part of what He's already doing through the Holy Ghost. Amen? Because no matter what I did, if I tried to do it my own strength and I tried to demand that Dan and Ann go to Philmont, how do you think that would have turned out? He'd have been in Wyoming. That's right. Or Pastor Paul and Monique. When we got ready to release them, we were preaching over there every night for a year before they took over. We weren't even sure who was going to take it, but we were just stepping out in faith because we had the Macedonian call. A lady came here because her granddaughter came and she said, I love what God is doing here. Can you do that in Athens? We said, sure. I went home and I was like, oh Lord, who's going to do that? We took teams over there, went over there for a year. And then Paul came and he said, I'll step up and do it. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. I wasn't sure how it was going to work, but I knew an act of faith was all I needed because we heard the call, can you come here and preach the word of God? That's all it takes. And then we had joy when they asked. And we looked to the King and then He supplied all the needs. Amen? That's what He does. Joy comes from knowing what's coming. Can we agree on that? Joy comes from knowing what is coming. Do you know what's coming tomorrow? not in the natural, but in the supernatural. Is his mercy going to meet you tomorrow morning? Is it going to fill your room before you even wake up? That's right. Is his love going to be there waiting for you tomorrow? Is the grace going to be enough? No matter what happens, is his grace going to meet you and carry you through tomorrow? Is his provision going to be there tomorrow? Right. So joy coming from what his promises are in my life start to strengthen me. And therefore, I know what is coming and I can rejoice in the Lord. And again, he says, rejoice. Why? It's a reminding because we know what it said in the word. Just like they said in Nehemiah. All right. I know I got to hurry. Couple more minutes. All right. When we look at verses 21 and 22, it says he rejoiced in the Holy Spirit. Ah, the church has stopped speaking in tongues, a lot of them. It's not for today. Wait a minute. They don't know what the word said. Because the word never said the Holy Spirit wasn't for today. They never said that speaking in tongues went out with the apostles. As a matter of fact, Paul writes about it. And he said we're to strengthen ourselves in the Lord. Building ourselves up in the most holy faith, the most holy faith there is, speaking in tongues and building yourself up. But you see, the world came in and said, oh, that's crazy. You are. That's why I love you. It's crazy to believe what God's word says is enough. Amen? How many years and how many denominations have they been trying to add to the word? Because they didn't think the word was enough. I want you to know the word's enough. And when we start to agree with what the word of God says, you'll walk in joy because the joy of the Lord is our strength. So we're going to get stronger as a body of Christ. We're going to get stronger. More men and women being raised up and released. You know, we had a visitation here last night. We had an angel. right, Jeremiah? He was the angel on top of the, he had his wings spread out there. Had the spotlight on him. People were coming and just staring at an angel. Caitlin didn't even know she married an angel. She probably did. She probably did. It's the only reason why she married him. Yep. I thank you, Father, Lord, in heaven, that you have hidden these things, Jesus said, from the wise and understanding, revealed them to little children. Yes, Father. For such was your gracious will. All things have been handed over to me by my Father. No one knows who the Son is except the Father, and who the Father is except the Son, and anyone to whom he chooses to reveal him. He delights in being the child of God. He delights in the childlike dependence. He delights in receiving from his Father and being known by his Father and knowing his Father and bringing others into knowing his Father. Everything is about the Father. He loves being the Son. He loves talking about the Father. He loves pointing everybody to the Father. He loves bringing people and laying before the Father. That's what we have to get to. That's what Jesus did. He said, I have set the Lord always before me because he is at my right hand. I shall not be shaken. If your joy gets shaken every time somebody disagrees with you, then you're insecure. How many know leaders that are so insecure that you can't give a difference of opinion when you walk in the room? Right? You can say, I don't see that. Well, you should! How many have led like that in the past besides me? I'm the only one. Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. He said, therefore, my heart is glad and my whole being rejoices in Psalm 16. My whole being rejoices. My flesh also dwells secure. You make known to me the path of life. In your presence there is what? Fullness of joy, and at your right hand pleasures forevermore. In your presence there's fullness of joy. He said, Matthew 5:12, rejoice and be glad, for your reward is great in heaven. This is not, he's not asking you, he's telling you. He said, look, you can take me for my word. You got a reward in heaven that's coming. Those that serve. You've got a great reward that's coming in heaven. Mark my words. And he says, now rejoice and be glad. And it's an act of faith, amen? That act of faith is believing what his word says. So we rejoice now and we're glad now. We're not worrying about what happens when I die. I've said it all the time. I can't wait to go home. Not going home yet, but we know it gets better than this, amen? How many people do you know outside the body of Christ that are looking forward to dying? They're doing everything they can to stay alive, right? They're running 70 miles a day, eating nothing but wheatgrass, right? Drinking water that only comes from the fountain of I don't know where. The purest water you can find, that's what I have to have. I put nothing in this body. I gotta live. Yes, we have to live in Christ. Not live in the natural. If we live in the natural and all we do is focus on this, we lose. Because now we've deified this thing that God has created and we've made it a temple. All right, just about done. Rejoice in that day and leap for joy, for behold, your reward is great in heaven. Luke 6:23. Rejoice that your names are written in heaven, Luke 10:20. Jesus is no hypocrite. When he tells us to rejoice, he is the man of joys, drawing us into his own, and he wants our joy to be full, right? John 16:24. The fullness of joy is very contagious. How many heard misery loves company? Yeah, misery loves company. Can I tell you, joy is more contagious than misery? Because misery only likes company for a short time. You ever been around people that are miserable? Yep. Oh, yeah. Some say I'm married to him. Misery loves company. They sit there for a little bit and they commiserate together. They sit there and they talk and complain about everything. But eventually, if you're saved, you're like, oh, I can't take it no more. I don't know about you, but I can't take it no more. I don't mind listening to the problems as long as we're going to agree on what the answer is. But to just sit there and whine and snivel and complain in your woos and boo-hoos, nobody's really interested. I don't know about you, but when I was down in the dumps, I didn't want somebody to come alongside me and say, I agree with you. Well, this isn't going to get us anywhere. Now we're both going to lay around here and flop around like fish out of water. Just wallowing around, not going anywhere. How many sat for a long time just going in a circle? Yeah. Oh, yeah, hey, me and my miserable friends, we get together every Friday night. Nobody's any good. Our lives stink. We're terrible. Let's have another drink. And then in walked the Savior, and everything changed. I want you to know, if you know Jesus Christ, in walked the Savior, and it's time everything changed. Amen? Stand up while I read these last couple. One of the most astounding claims Jesus makes on the night before he died is that he will not leave us to our own joy. He wants his joy to be ours, not just that we would have joy, but that we would have his joy. Right? John 15:11 says, these things I have spoken to you that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be full. So full joy comes from him being in you. That's why he did it all. He did it all so you would have joy. Just turn to your neighbor and smile. Hopefully you don't have no lettuce in your teeth. And then he prays to his Father. He says, now I'm coming to you, and these things I speak in the world, that they may have my joy fulfilled in themselves. His joy fulfilled in you. And it goes back to what we said in the beginning, when they understand the words that were written. So this holiday season, as we enter it, we're walking in that joy. Amen? He pours that capacity for joy into us. Maybe you haven't had a whole lot of joy. I want you to know, today, He wants to pour his joy into you. He's good like that, amen? And you might say, yeah, but it's never worked before. I want you to know, now you know what the Word of God says. It's going to work today. Tell your neighbor, say, you need this. Tell your other neighbor, just not, look at your other neighbor, just nod. They already know. They already know. Listen, you need this, because if not, the things of this world are going to consume you. Somebody's going to try to steal your joy. That's what the enemy is going to do. The enemy even wants you rejoicing in the wrong thing. Look at the devils I cast out. I prayed for 6 people and they accepted Christ. Check me out. He wants you rejoicing in the wrong thing. And he wants to steal your joy by allowing you to look at something wrong. My wife will never be the source of my joy. I will never be the source. I'll never be the special sauce of your joy. I couldn't get the word out. I had to change it. Because we can't be. Sometimes she's got to build me up in the word. Sometimes I have to build her up in the word. Sometimes we have to build our children up in the word. Right? But when we know what the word says, joy becomes our strength. You get stronger when you look in the mirror every morning and just start, yeah, I'm his son. Yeah. I've been baptized into the kingdom. Yeah. So what we start to do, we start to talk to ourselves. We start to remind ourselves of the promises that he's made. And you come out in the morning and I see my wife. Yeah.
Wrong, if that ever happens.
My wife said she's going to run if that ever happens. It's a scary look. But the reality is sometimes we got to go way over here just to get to the middle. Amen. We've got to exaggerate it in our minds because we've been so wrong, so long with the wrong attitude, walking around in weakness. Nobody cares. Yes, he does. Nobody loves me. Yes, he does. Nobody wants me. Yes, he does. I'm so weak. Yes, you are. Because you don't agree with him. Is where the word of the king is, there's power. Amen. So your joy comes from having a right mindset that all of it comes from him. And he said he came that you would have joy. That's why he came. Joy in your household today. Joy in your family. Yeah, but they're not living just right. Neither are you. Let's face it. How many are walking in the fullness of all that God has promised us? How many of us in this room, I'm putting up both of my hands, have yet to lay down everything that God has asked me so that he's glorified in all that I do, right? How dare we look at them and say, oh, look at that wretch. One thing you got to know, you're not a wretch any longer. He saved a wretch like you. You were wretched before him. Now, he said, you're no longer a sinner, but you're a saint. So Paul said to the saints of Ephesus, those who agree that Jesus Christ is Lord, joy is your strength. That's how you get stronger. Agree with what he said. Amen? Let's pray. Father, I thank you for the patience of everyone here. I thank you for the love that's in this room right now. Lord, I thank you for the family of God. That as we've worshiped you together, we've cried out and we said, there's none like our God. We've done communion and we said, we remember that it was your plan from the beginning that the old would pass away and a new covenant would come, one that would bring freedom to those that believe. And Father, I pray today that as we've reminded you of how wonderful you are in worship, as you've reminded us through your word that the joy of the Lord is our strength, Lord, let us remind ourselves and those around us that we have come to set at liberty those who are captives. Father, when we walk out of here, let us go out knowing that the authority you have given us is to cast out demons. But our joy comes from being your sons and daughters. Ah. Lord, that when we have an extra 10 minutes, it's not the television or it's not a device that we stare at, but it's the word of God. For when they understood the word, joy came. Father, help us to steal away that we desire your relationship more than any other. And when others say you're spending too much time with the Lord, we would just remind them we've only just begun. For 4 days with you accomplishes more in 1 hour when we serve up what you have given us, when we proclaim what you speak to us in those 4 days. More lives are transformed in a moment than with 4 days worth of work and no time with you. Father, I pray that the joy of the Lord would be the strength of everyone in here. Lord, we thank you for the servants in the house of God, that each one would say, no, I've come to bring my gift, to give it to the King, so that everyone knows he is my focus, my hope. He is my joy. He is my salvation. And Lord, as we take our gifts and we cast them before you, we see the strength that comes into the body of Christ, and we can reach farther and farther and farther, where your light shines brighter and brighter and brighter, because we agree that the joy of the Lord is our strength. Knowing who we are strengthens us. Knowing what you promised strengthens us. Walking in with knowing that no one can snatch us out of your hand brings us great joy. And no matter how dark it gets, we still walk in the light. So, Father, I pray your blessing upon everyone here this morning. Lord, and as they walk out, let them bring joy into each and every person that they meet. If they go out to dinner, Lord, let it be that they find great joy in buying somebody else's. They find great joy in encouraging the waitress. They find great joy in praying for someone in that restaurant that they wouldn't leave until they heard the Holy Ghost say, go pray for them. And whether it's for deliverance or healing or salvation, Lord, let boldness come on the household of faith, because you're the one that we find our joy in. And therefore, when we honor you, all things in our lives start to change. Lord, right now, we walk out into that harvest field. We walk out into the darkness, and oh, do you light it up before us. Thank you, Father, for changing lives through the joy of the sons and daughters of God. In Jesus' name, amen. And amen.